Today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome David Ajala of Falling Water. Mr. Ajala plays Burton in this mysterious fantasy series and has appeared in such films as Jupiter Ascending, Fast and Furious 6, and The Dark Knight.
I'm slipping into the deep end. I'm in love.
Over the next segment, David Ajala will talk about playing a man whose dreams are shared with others in Falling Water, which airs Thursdays at 10 p.m. on USA Network. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to sleep through this program, feel free to dream a little dream for me as we nod off in the past so we can wake up to a brand new show in the present. David, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jim.
So, David, tell us what Falling Water is all about.
Falling Water is, in essence, it's about the dream world, and it's about our unawareness of the dream world, and then what happens when we start becoming more aware of our dreams. What happens when, in our dream world, we start to understand the language of our dreams, and we're able to understand that our dreams are potentially giving us clues and insights into how to make better decisions in life, how to equip ourselves and how to protect ourselves from certain things. So you have three characters, three people. They don't know each other. They all live in New York City. And what happens is they start seeing each other in their dreams. And then it becomes more significant because they see each other more than once in their dreams. And then they start to understand that they, the three of them, have the same powers, which is what allows them to go from their dream world into their waking world. And that bleed and that crossover is what creates for all kinds of dramas. Because these guys are going to infiltrate their dreams for the greater good, potentially. But then there's a much darker, ominous force which is going to infiltrate their dreams and use their ability for evil.
Well, in Falling Water, you play a character by the name of Burton. Tell us about Burton. What kind of man is he, and how does he view and conduct his own life?
Burton is an ex-SAS military man. And now, when you see him in the story, he is the head of security in a financial institution in New York City. He's a fixer. He fixes people's problems and their mess. He works with a lot of bankers who were paid extraordinary amounts of money, but who were very irresponsible with their money. And Burton is the guy to keep things smooth. In his personal life, Burton is a man who, I mean, back to his work life, he is meticulous at his job. He's not just good, he is brilliant at his job because he challenges everything with logic. Burton's mantra is, "My logic will destroy everything." But what happens is a woman who he loves very deeply, and he has this very passionate but fleeting relationship with, she disappears one day, and then he can't find her. He tries to track her down, and she is nowhere to be seen. And the only experience he has of her now is in his dreams. And then he's not sure if she exists in the waking world or if she only exists in his dream world. And that's really, really tough for him. And then he starts to understand the language of his dreams to try and pursue her. And then he realizes that she, too, is in danger. And then the jeopardy increases because he has to rush against the clock to find her before she disappears completely.
Well, you say that Burton is a meticulous man. He seems to appreciate order and control in his life, yet he has no control over his dreams. How is he dealing with that?
He is struggling because, you know, the one thing which he holds close to himself, like I said, which is his mantra, which is, "My logic will destroy everything." There is no logic. There are no books that could equip him with how to deal with the situation he finds himself in. He's a regular guy facing extraordinary circumstances. So you're going to see him taken to the pit of despair because he just gets dragged down this cave of pain, but he has to face it head on. But I believe it will bring out the best in him, because then he's just going to he'll become a mini superhero. I'll just say that.
Now, personally, in real life, do you remember your dreams, or do they not stick with you?
Some dreams stick with me more than others. There are some dreams that I have that I wake up and I'm very happy that it was a dream, because they just feel too real. And there are some dreams that I experience, this is when I'm lucid dreaming, and I'm aware I'm dreaming, and I'm able to manipulate the outcome of certain things.
Right. Right, I think
there's a weird thing which happens. I'm not sure if this happened with you, but you have a dream, and then whatever emotions you experience in that dream,
right,
you still have the dregs of it when you wake up.
That's right.
And you spend the first few hours of the day, or throughout the day, just trying to shake it off,
right,
especially if it's a dream that, you know, didn't bode well with you. And because this, our show is really going to show the nuances of the effects dreams can have on you in a really intimate but magical way at the same time.
Right. I think most people are fascinated by dreams. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people are so intrigued by them?
I think with dreams, because to a degree there are no rules in dreams, it really does just create for a world of infinite possibilities where magic can happen. It becomes an escapism, you know, from your everyday life. And I think that there's a real fascination with those dreams, because you're able to experience and experiment with parts of yourself without having to face certain consequences, you know. You can, that's one part of it, but then there's also, you're able to experiment and just be wonderful versions of yourself, a version of yourself that can fly, a version of yourself that is open to love, a version of yourself that is like a superhero. I mean, we always see better versions of ourselves. So when we're able to experience that in our dreams, we experience it sometimes in a very profound, uplifting and elevating level. And that's just so cool.
So in terms of that, how does Falling Water portray the two different realities as the real world and the dream world intersect?
Well, from the first episode, you'll understand the language of the real world and the dream world. But then throughout the series, what the characters are experiencing, which is I call it the bleed. It's when the waking world and the dream world cross over. And how we are, you know, experiencing dysfunction and uncertainty, the audience will experience the same thing. And they, too, will really have to try and work out what's the dream world and what's the waking world. So you, too, will be arrested and taken onto that journey with the characters.
And also, David, where can people find out more about yourself online?
I'm on Twitter. Very simple, very straightforward. It's I Am David Ajala. And it's the same for Facebook. And it's the same for Instagram.
David, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history one voice at a time.